You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Our world keeps better track of people by number rather than by name.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, our Father, make each one of us somebody through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and in love toward one another. As you know our names, forgive our sins and give us life, redeemed by the blood of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Are you nobody? It is not surprising that the question should come up. There are a lot of voices around telling you that you are nobody. You may have been saying it to yourself. I am nobody. When I ask people who they are, they often reply, "Oh, I'm nobody." They don't even want to tell you their names, evidently feeling that you might recognize them as nobody. I'm not here today to tell you that I shall make you somebody. Anybody who tells you that is a charlatan and a huckster. He's a fake and a phony. He's out to take you and make you a real nobody. But I do tell you, you are not nobody. Whoever you are, I have a word of God for you. You don't have to take it from me. You can take it from him. This is God's word spoken by his prophet, the one he authorized to speak for him. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. That's God speaking. I'm not making it up, nor am I misrepresenting what God said. This is God talking to Israel, which was feeling pretty low at the time. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Israel was devastated. It seemed there was nothing left. Some of their best people had been carried off into exile. Jerusalem was in danger of being leveled. There was no more strength to resist. Her neighbors with their large armies kept telling her, "You are nobody," and she was on the verge of believing them. Then God said, "Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." People are willing to believe that God could redeem Israel, but they find it hard to believe that God could redeem them. They would love to hear somebody calling them by name. "Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are somebody." They would like to believe that God means them, but they find it hard to believe. I don't blame them. I find it hard to believe myself. But God, in his great mercy, wherewith he has loved us, has made it quite clear that he is talking about us, you and me. He made that clear in Jesus Christ, his Son. It wasn't just Israel. It is the whole world. It wasn't just the religious people, but the whole shooting match. When Jesus Christ died, all died. And he died for all, that those who live by faith in him should not henceforth live to themselves alone, but to him who for their sakes died and rose again. In Jesus Christ, God is trying to get across to the whole world. What more can he do? He sent his son to be a man for all of us people. In all of his wonderful humanity, Jesus Christ, God's son, died. He died for the sins of the world. In him, God was reconciling the world unto himself, not counting our sins against us. In Christ, God is saying to you and to the whole world, fear not, I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You're mine. You're somebody. Now you can tune out Jesus Christ. You can tune in all those people who tell you you are nobody. But in Christ, God, out of his great mercy wherewith he has loved us, has something to say to you. Fear not, I have redeemed you. It is surprising to see how many times people give their names to government for census or tax purposes, to stores for credit purposes, to employers for purposes of employment, to schools for enrollment and records, to people who run contests in hopes of winning a prize, to hospitals where they're more likely to be known as the gallbladder in 325 or the cardiac case in 228, to insurance companies who know you are a good risk or a bad one by just looking up your number on a computer somewhere, to almost anybody you listen and you give your names, except to God. People don't want him to know their names. Maybe he will overlook them. It just might be that he won't pay them back for what they have done. Possibly they can get away with what they are and what they have done or failed to do. It is fear that makes people keep their names from God. I'm not talking about the church right now. I'm talking about God. There are a lot of church people who don't want God to know their names. They've got good reason for feeling that way. They've committed great crimes against their neighbors and even against their own families. They know God is going to hold them to account. He will not let them get away with it. Still, they hope that somehow he won't notice them if they keep their names from him. The fact of the matter is that our world keeps better track of people by number than by name. In some countries, people have identification numbers. In others, they have social security numbers. On assembly lines, people have numbers, just as the machines they are working on and the machines they are making have numbers. Executives are no better off. They feel just as vulnerable and just as dispensable as people on the assembly lines. Society has become what is called the mass. The mass is full of numbers, without faces. No wonder you keep hearing the refrain, I am nobody, and you are nobody. No wonder there's so much repression and angry violence. People react against that nobody stuff. Who likes to hear that? You can't blame people for feeling bad when they hear somebody tell them they are nobody. It's a terrible thing to say. What it really says is you are worthless, no good, unnecessary. It doesn't make any difference whether you are dead or alive. You are nobody. If that is true, all you can do is crawl into a corner and cry, maybe, and then die. Slowly. Others fight back at this nobody business. They rebel at the thought of being crushed into nothingness. I can't say I blame them. They want to live. And here they are being killed off, robbed of their humanity, the very thing that is life. They want to fight and stay alive. The trouble is that people are killed in that combat too. They die in pride and arrogance. In spite of all their struggles, they turn out to be nobody. Nobody but a marker on a grave. A little place in the cemetery. Nobody. The trouble is that those who fight in order to die prove it was right all along. You are nobody. It's a lie, a big lie, calculated to drive people into despair or into self-defeating rebellion. It's a lie told like other lies for the purpose of controlling and manipulating people who take the lie seriously. It's a lie, my friend, that you are nobody. It is one of Satan's creations, designed to drive a wedge between God and his people. The lie has a purpose, to keep you from taking God seriously. It's like the original lie. The serpent said to the woman, did God say you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not die. People have kept on believing that lie. They will believe anybody, but not God. No wonder there's doubt, distrust, disappointment, disease, despair, and destruction all around. Does God say you are somebody? The man and woman say, yes, he says we are somebody. He made us human beings, the crown of his creation, somebody. He redeemed us when we went our own way. He forgives us our sins. But the serpent says, you are nobody. And people go on believing him. The answer is still the same. Doubt, distrust, disappointment, disease, despair, and destruction. People just destroy themselves when they refuse to believe God. Now, God has sent his son, Jesus Christ. That's a great story. It's not fiction. It is history. It's a part of our history. He is one of us, a real man for all of us real people. We are not really real until we realize that. Jesus Christ has exposed the lie. You are somebody. Jesus Christ died for you. He lives for you. You are forgiven because of him. You are invited to enter and become a member of God's family because of him. You belong. You are somebody because of him. I don't know how to say it so that you will believe it. Let God say it. Fear not. For I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine. God has redeemed you in Jesus Christ, his son. In Jesus Christ, God is talking to you. He says, I have redeemed you. As Martin Luther put it in his small catechism, he has purchased and won me, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. That's for real, and you are for real. Christ has redeemed you. You are somebody. If you don't believe me or anyone else, believe him. In that believing, you are saved. Believing in Jesus Christ makes all the difference in the world. It's not just believing that something is true. It's believing him. It's trusting him. It's putting yourself in his hands. It's committing yourself to him. It's life and salvation in him. You don't make yourself somebody. He does. People have tried over the centuries to make something of themselves. A self-made man is usually the worst botch in the whole world. There have been some notable examples of that in recent history. The self-made man turns out to be the biggest disappointment, not only to others, but even to himself. It takes God to make a real man. It takes God to make a real woman. It takes God to make a real boy or girl. It takes God. As he does things in Jesus Christ. I don't know your name, but God does. Maybe there are only three or four people who know your name, but God knows it better than they do. To others, you may be just a body that takes up space. To God, you are somebody, a living soul. You are more dear to him than you are to your father and mother, or to your son and daughter. What's your name, Henry or Elizabeth? Or like that little Arab baby I know, Adib. Whatever it is, God knows it. And you are somebody. God says, I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. So you are. A friend of mine was telling me about a conversation he had with a mother about her 6-year-old son. This boy had caused her quite a bit of grief. During the year, he had difficulty with some of his teachers at school. After that, he took things from a store which did not belong to him. To top it all off, he told his mother recently, when I grow up, I want to be a nothing. This was a 6-year-old boy, mind you, with that kind of ambition. I want to be a nothing. Some of us can feel with that 6-year-old boy. There are times when people feel like dirt. They act as if they don't matter. Others treat them as if they do not exist. They feel they are unnecessary, just a bother to have around. People may say to you, you can't do anything right. After a while, you feel so low and rotten that you say to yourself, I guess they're right. I can't do anything right. The words of Emily Dickinson's poem seem to fit perfectly. I am nobody. Who are you? Are you nobody too? Young or old, short or tall, slender or stout, pretty or plain, the life of the party or a wallflower, quick-witted or slow, scholarly or athletic or neither, it makes no difference. God says to you, you are somebody. I've redeemed you. I know your name. I call you by name. The great thing is, you are mine. When you belong to God's family, as you do by faith in Jesus Christ, his son, you have just got to be somebody. Our Lord goes on to say, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. That's God talking the way he talks. He's God and Lord. He's God. And anybody can know him in Jesus Christ, the great one whom he sent to die for our sins, and then was raised from the dead to be the Lord of heaven and earth. You're precious in my eyes. That's what God says. You are my son or daughter. I love you. What the world needs is that love. Love, sweet love, the love of the living God. That's what you need, my friend. Have it in Jesus Christ. He loves you. God loves you. God forgives you. God gives you life. You are important. You are somebody. God says so. If that's so, take his love and be yourself. Respect yourself and others as you would have them respect you. Value your life and use your life. Use it to the utmost. Feel safe and secure. God is with you. Have no fear. Feel like living and feel like trying. The love of God makes all the difference in the world. Don't listen to the lies that say to you, you are nobody. Listen to God. He speaks loud and clear in Jesus Christ. You are somebody. I love you. Fear not. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are really somebody. Amen.